This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way. Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 261 for the week ending Saturday, February 21st, 2015. Good morning. I am Jeff Nielsen, also known as
your captain.
And joining me this morning from Conyers, Georgia, the lovely Maria Johnson.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
I remember to unmute you. And
okay,
next,
whatever.
We have from Oklahoma, Steve Nelson.
Hello, everybody. And the
waving beat from the plains. Smell sweet when the wind. And also joining us from Malta, Montana, where there's a rodeo, I think. There's a rodeo.
Well, it's a little cold here for a rodeo right now, but they do have one once in a while. Around. Morning, all.
Good morning. And also joining us, our special guest this morning from Amersfoort, our CEO, Father Roderick.
Good morning.
Love that. We're going to hear more. What is that craziness there, huh? Well, we're going to talk about it here in a minute, because that's the reason why we have Father Roderick with us today. It's an anniversary of sorts. I think a pretty big anniversary, I'd say, wouldn't you?
It is. It is.
So, well, welcome, Father Roderick, and thank you for joining us today on Catholic Weekend. And should we just dive right in, or should we, let's talk about what's been going on with everybody this past week. Anything interesting, anybody? All right, then.
Bueller? We'll...
where are the crickets?
We had a big event. I kind of alluded to it last week, but we had kind of a Mardi Gras celebration. Of course, before Lent, we had to have the Mardi Gras, and we did this fantastic meal. It turned out absolutely amazing. Of course, I was gone for all the planning and, you know, preparation. I timed that well, but then just show up for the event itself, you know. But no, it was yeah, exactly. You know, it's called delegation. You know, pastors are supposed to do that, you know, be able to delegate all their responsibilities. And actually, we did that kind of something fun along with it. It was called A Night at the Races. And it's a fundraising event where they have actual horse races from throughout the country that they've recorded. And then, you know, they send you a DVD with these horse races. And they send you funny money and tickets for the betting and everything. And people go bet on the horses. And, you know, odds are based on how many people bet for each horse, and then you run the
race. Dude, is that even legal?
It's funny money. There's no actual money being exchanged. It's no different than playing Monopoly.
Okay, that's what we're calling it. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, seriously. So yes, it's legal. We wanted to do real money, but that would be illegal. But no, it was a lot of fun. People really got into it. It was a blast. You know, doing the betting and everything. And of course, it's funny money. So by the end of the night, everybody's like, okay, I'm just going to throw everything down, win or loss, you know? So it was
a blast. Did you ever see the movie The Sting?
Mm-hmm.
Very much like that.
Years and years and years ago. No, it was a lot of fun. And we actually did we grossed almost $5,000 off of it.
Wow.
And in a small town like this, that's a lot of money to gross. So it turned out really, really, really well. It was a lot of fun too. Everybody had a blast. So that was our big event for the week. And then I spent the rest of the week just catching up on stuff I'd missed over 2 weeks.
Mm-mm. Excellent.
Sweet. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't remember, Father Corey was on a whirlwind train vacation, right? A couple of weeks.
Yep. A couple of weeks seeing North America, basically. northern part of North America, I should say.
Did you go through the snow belt of where, like around, who got the most snow in the Midwest? Like Philadelphia, Buffalo?
I missed a lot of the snow, actually, because it was north of New York is where the worst of it got absolutely hit. And I missed a lot of that. So it was kind of unnerving, though. There were two train derailments this week, and both of them were on tracks that I had gone on.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Because of the snow?
No, just I don't know what caused the derailments, you know, just probably tracks or whatever. But it's just like, great. I didn't do anything to the tracks, I swear. You know?
So, Steve, so you yes. kind of indicated that catching up was something you had to do this past week.
Well, the week before last, I spent in San Antonio at a music educators conference. Mm. And I love San Antonio. We had such a good time there. Lots of good food. The weather was great. It was like 80 degrees. Mm. But, you know, when you're out of the office for a week, you have to do double duty when you get back. There was so much to catch up on.
Oh, but it's good to be back, isn't it?
It is, until next week when I leave again.
Oh, boy. How about you, Maria? How was your week?
Well, you know, it all culminated in a faculty convocation on Thursday, on the coldest day in Atlanta. Hmm.
Outside?
No, we did it in the conference center. But it was funny. It was, you know, the women usually will wear a black dress under the gown and you know, and hose or no hose, depending on if it's a spring convocation. But this was the spring convocation, right? And I'm lining up and I look back and all the women are in black slacks. And it was so hilarious. Never mind. That's just
perfect. So is this like graduation?
It's like graduation. They gather the faculty twice a year in the fall and in the spring. And they deliver either the goals for the year in the fall or the state of the college in the spring. And oh, wow. It's a big to do. It's pretty. I mean, you dress up in your regalia and you parade around.
Ooh, regalia.
You gallivant around.
Gallivant around.
Speaking of that, has anybody watched?
In pretty black dresses.
What's the name of that?
Yes, I saw it. Gallivant.
Gallivant?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. I did watch it. I saw about 3 episodes of it and then I lost interest.
Apparently,
I've heard of it. Apparently,
Mac Barron really loves it.
Really?
Yeah, they talk about it on their show. Father, have you had a busy week?
Yeah, it started with the Mardi Gras celebrations, which are actually quite big in the Netherlands, at least in the southern part, because that's entirely Catholic. So that usually starts on Thursday before Ash Wednesday, and in my parish, we have this long tradition that the celebrations on Sunday start with Mass. And there is another parish, or a former parish, because they've all been put together. One of the other churches had a tradition to celebrate the Carnival festivities on Saturday evening. So I had 2 Masses where the entire church is filled with people that are dressed up.
Like, how are they dressed? Like Halloween kind of costumes?
No, it's more festive. It's usually a lot of colors, or there's a lot of people that dress up as farmers. That's kind of the area here. And but also, you got, you know, the craziest things. It's just whatever is trendy. No Jedi Knights or that sort of stuff, but just lots of colors, lots of crazy hair, you know, just blue, red, purple.
like crazy hats and such?
Yeah, it's the only time in the year that, as a priest, I feel underdressed.
Well, speaking of hats, I'm looking at the video here, if you're watching with us. Right behind Father is a desk or bureau or something, and on top of it is an unusual-looking knitted cap. So what is that?
It's an R2-D2 hat. It's actually the dome of R2-D2, but then knitted in wool. And I saw this on Facebook. One of my Star Wars friends here in the Netherlands took a picture with his newborn son, and they both had that, you know, domed hat. So I was like, I got to get myself one of those. And of course, I'm not very proficient at knitting, No, it's surprisingly, it's one of the things that I just can't get my head around.
So
I knew that we had some very talented people, especially Lynn Francisco, who also made me the Where's Waldo hat and how do you call it?
The scarf.
And so I asked her, can you make that? And so we found the instructions on how to do that, and which she had to adapt, and then I had to measure my head and
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, he was wearing it.
And it fits perfectly, and to someone who doesn't know what Star Wars is, it looks kind of like a postmodern hat. You know, it's got these like blue squares on it, and it looks just something very fancy. But only the true Star Wars fans know that I'm making a fool out of myself by wearing it out in the street.
Oh my gosh! Well, next year you're going to get a TARDIS hat, right?
Oh, cool.
You know, there's a woman. Honestly, there's a woman in my parish, and every once in a while, when we do, we have an adoration at the first of the month. And it gets a little packed. And one day I was in adoration, and I look up, and I had to leave. I mean, I was done. I was so distracted the entire time because I kept staring at the hat, thinking, "Is that a TARDIS that she has on her head?" And so I try to focus on Jesus and hello. Is that knitted? Is that a TARDIS hat? And I spent entire time distracted by the hat, and I'm like, I'll come back later and do this right.
So, Father Roderick, there's an exhibit I got to see a couple of weeks ago in Seattle I know you would be highly, highly interested in.
Oh, yeah?
It's done by the Smithsonian in conjunction with these museums throughout the country. It's a traveling exhibit. It's called Star Wars and the Power of Costume.
Oh, wow.
They've got all these different costumes from all the movies. A lot on Amidala, because of course she has a lot of costumes throughout all the movies. But it was just fascinating, because not just was it the costumes, they also described the materials they used to build them. You know, like for example, the Jedi, the Jedi robes, they look like they're really rough, you know, cotton and things like that.
Yeah.
They're actually things like silk and polyester.
Really?
Because they can make them look rough. And then also when they get wet in shooting, they dry out a lot quicker, things like that.
Oh,
so it's, wow. But it's not just the practical things. They also talk about what is the symbolism. So again, the Jedi robes are based off of like a Japanese warrior monk garb.
Yeah.
Things like that. So they describe kind of the symbolism that goes in, that they designed these costumes with, and you can see the progression with the emperor from his, you know, very regal garb at the beginning to the black hood and everything. And it's a fascinating, I mean, first of all, anybody who's interested in costuming would be interested in it and art. But then of course, you know, Star Wars geeks are like, oh, look, there's R2-D2.
I remember seeing an exposition. I'm not sure where it was, but there were some artifacts from Star Wars, and it felt, you know, it had the same feeling to me as being close to important relics.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was like, oh, that thing touched the hand of that saint, you know?
And yeah, exactly.
That rope.
Wow.
You guys are just too geeky.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Well, hey, the reason why we don't really ever have to have an excuse to have Father Roderick on the show, but we need to bring up the numbers, you know, the ratings. It's ratings week. No, I'm just kidding.
There's so much truth in that.
But Lynn Francisco reminded us a couple weeks ago that, hey, you know, the 10th anniversary of Father Roderick's Catholic Insider program. And for many of us, when we hear the history of people in getting involved in podcasting, listening to podcasts, how did you find out about SQPN? I'd say 9 out of 10 people will say it was this podcast, this priest from the Netherlands with his Sony mini disc recorder and a microphone and headphones out there and giving us sound seeing tours. And the show was called Catholic Insider. And it just so happens that almost exactly 10 years ago, was actually the 23rd of February of 2005, we heard this on our iPods.
Catholic Insider, February 23rd, 2005.
I miss that music. Was that an iTunes?
No.
Okay.
It was something from a... was it like a CD from... I think that this... With like a,
hi, you're listening to Catholic Insider, your daily dose of Catholic inside information. I'm Father Roderick. Today I'll be taking you with me on a soundseeing tour right into the heart of the Vatican on my quest to get the Pope on my podcast. I'll tell you all about it in a couple of minutes. You're actually listening to the very first podcast of Catholic Insider, so let me first introduce myself. My name is Roderick van Heugen. I'm 36 years old, and I'm a Catholic priest from Holland. I've got a couple of parishes in the beautiful city of Amersfoort, and I'm also working for the Diocese of Utrecht in the field of social communications and the media. And last but not least, I'm heading a Catholic multimedia organization called Rorate. We're, among other things, producing one of the biggest Catholic news websites in the Netherlands and Belgium, as well as some other sites, and this podcast is actually my first international production. So what's this Catholic Insider podcast all about? First of all, if you're new to the concept of podcasting, then check out iPodder.org, where you'll find a lot of information about this new and exciting phenomenon on the web. There are a few thousand different podcasts today, all about a lot of different topics: technology, entertainment, cooking, sports, politics, music, you name it. However, Catholic podcasts are still extremely rare, and since there are more than 1 billion Catholics on this earth, I figured it might be interesting to start a podcast for them, and of course, for anyone else who'd like to know more about Catholic faith and lifestyle. So what are we going to do?
Okay, so that's the very beginning of that, and so does that bring back some memories for you, Father?
Yes, it's crazy. I remember exactly the location where I was recording this. This was in the Dutch college on top of the Aventine Hill where I studied for 2 years. It was I remember I had to close the windows with the curtains because it was a very echoey room. And I wanted it to sound a bit more like radio. And I had an old Windows laptop with one of those tiny microphones, you know, the ones on the plastic ones. Mm-hmm. And it was constantly over-modulating. And so I was like, I think I was kneeling in front of the bed, and I put it on the bed so it wouldn't, you know, again, the drapes on the bed would also dampen the sound a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I had written down the entire text of what I was going to say, the intro. It was all written down, and I was reading it from a paper, trying to... This was take 30 or something like that, because I kept making mistakes.
Those were the days.
I wanted to make it sound really professional, like I am a radio maker, and 1 billion Catholics, I'm going to be rich.
Well, you know, interestingly, didn't you say that for many of your first podcasts, you scripted the whole thing and pretty much reading, and then kind of shifted away from it?
Yeah, the intros were always scripted, uh-huh. But not the stuff that I recorded outside. I mean,
I just walk
around, and it was all improvised. You can also tell because I'm making a lot of mistakes in English, and I did have the vocabulary to describe some of the stuff that I wanted to describe, mm-hmm. So... This has been a really, you know, big project of trying to master English better in order to communicate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of abandoned the idea of pre-scripting everything, but it took more than a year, I think, before I was even the first episodes of the Daily Breakfast, which was kind of the what the show morphed into when I was back from Rome, and I thought, you know what. I can't walk around in this neighborhood. That's not going to be very interesting. There are no popes and pope mobiles here. even the first episodes of the Daily Breakfast were completely scripted. And of course, when you listen back to it, you can tell.
well, I don't know, but
I think a lot of time to get comfortable.
A lot of people, you know, for me, I can't read something and sound like I'm not reading it. But I think that you can. I mean, there's a certain talent that people have. But I can. We can all tell now when you're reading something and when you're just kind of doing something extemporaneously.
It was also the voice, you know, the way you use your voice. Now, when I'm excited, my voice goes up.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember those first few episodes, I felt like a radio voice needs to be deep, and I need to be, you know.
Like Paul Camerata.
Exactly. Now it sounds so artificial, because I know that when I'm recording it, I'm super excited. Actually, there's a big difference in tone, in style, if you compare the intros to the Catholic Insider episodes, and then the stuff that I recorded outside, where I completely forget about that.
All right. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, you mind if we... pick up a little bit later, just a few more minutes into this, when you're actually using your mini-disc recorder and you're talking naturally.
Wow. Oh. By the way, that's a throwback to mini-disc recorder.
With my microphone to get him into this podcast. So I'll head over to the Vatican right now. I'm actually already late, so I hope we'll be in time.
I didn't cue it up exactly. Here we go.
Hi, this is Roderick talking to you from Rome. I'm taking you on my first soundseeing tour to the Vatican, and I'm currently in the metro station waiting for the train to take me there. I'm going there today because it appears that the Pope is going to appear briefly and talk to the crowd. He's actually still recovering from his illness, so he skipped the general audience he's always giving on Wednesday. But he will still appear towards 12 o'clock, so I'm told, to bless the crowd and perhaps say a few things. And I thought it would be a good idea to take you with me on this tour through Rome, through the Vatican, and see if we can catch some sound bites on my podcast of the Holy Father himself. Actually, it would be kind of a premiere to have the Holy Father himself coming to you on a podcast. I'm a little bit late, so I hope I can still arrive in time. Well, here's the metro arriving.
This is what made... Had anybody before you done a sound-seeing podcast?
Only Adam Curry. Adam Curry was a DJ from MTV.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's married to, at the time he was married to a Dutch woman, so he was fairly well known in the Netherlands. And he kind of, I'm not sure if he really invented podcasting, the technology, but he definitely invented the way in which you could apply it. And so he sometimes would walk out the door and record the street sounds. The thing was, he just did that. He didn't describe what was happening, so you just hear these sounds, and sometimes he would say something, but it was almost as if you were blind. And but that gave me the idea, you know, what if you would just add a narrative to this and turn it almost into an audio play, like a live audio play. You hear the sounds of the metro, which I kept calling metro. One of those words that I only knew on paper. I had no idea how to pronounce it.
I think either is fine, I think. I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Either or either is fine.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, perhaps. I was very confused at the time. But anyway, so yeah, you hear the metro sounds, but then you need to describe what you're seeing. And I discovered very soon that you don't need to describe everything. You just give a few visual cues, and people will start painting their own mental image, which might be very different from what I was actually seeing. But it doesn't matter. You kind of feel like you are there, and that's something that I still enjoy doing very much. Mm-hmm. And I love it when I'm on vacation, that if I have some time to, wherever I am, you know, in France or in Italy or Greece, to just go out and just go for a walk and describe what I see.
Well, it's kind of like listening to those old radio dramas where they would describe the scene and then let the sound effects kind of fill in the rest of it.
Yeah. The thing is, it was really a time of learning how to do this, because the funny thing is, if you go to Rome, you immediately have a lot of visual images. You remember what Rome should look like, or at least you know it from the postcards or from Google Maps. thing is, Rome as a city, the sound of the city is terrible. The only thing you hear is traffic. Mm. And the occasional, you know, Italians discussing politics. And then you have those horrible ambulances, you know, that... there's nothing romantic about the sound of Rome. You had to conjure that up with words. And that was very difficult in those early days because I wasn't used to, you know, I think I could more or less... have a conversation in English, but that's very different from, you know, describing architectural things or even now I'm very bad at that. And I struggle with what's the word for that?
But that's the charm of it, I think.
It was fun. Yeah. Yeah. It was also the stumbling over the words and then, you know, people probably yelling at their iPod. It's a metro. That was part of the fun.
Yeah. Well, you do it so well, and that was one of the things that made your podcast different from, not that there were that many of them out there, especially Catholic podcasts, but that's what really made yours, I think, just really stick out way on top of everybody else's. And then, of course, the timing of you starting this podcast in 2005, and you were there to try to get the Pope on the show. And let's listen to a little bit more of this.
Gosh, it's crowded as usual. I hope I can find a spot to stand. My God, it's really full of people. Full of noise also, as you can hear.
This is just perfect, you know? Street musicians.
What you hear is actually a couple of people singing and playing the guitar. It's very common in the metros in Rome for artists to play their art. Actually, they're not real artists. They're just trying to make some money. It gives a nice atmosphere. Of course, it's, I think, officially not allowed, but it certainly heightens the spirits of everybody sitting here going to work or elsewhere in this big city. I'll let you listen.
So, you know, we're listening to this in our headphones, and how intimate is that? We actually feel like we're there with you. I'm on that metro train. I'm listening to that music, and then when you step off into the square, it goes on. We'll have a link to the episode in the show notes so that everybody can listen to the entire episode. It's only about 22 minutes and 22 seconds long, so it's very short. But it's really interesting when you were like making your way into the square and you notice and you're telling us that everybody seems to be going the opposite direction, like they're going away. And you're thinking, well, I must have been so late that I missed it.
Yeah. I mean, it was the whole immersion factor, I think, what made the podcast special to a lot of people. Also because I was in a place where a lot of my listeners couldn't go, you know, in the Vatican. And then later on, it became... even more exciting when the second episode was actually I was in front of the hospital where John Paul II had been hospitalized, and that was the beginning of the end, literally. And I as a priest, of course, I had access to places where and situations where most of my listeners could never be. And then having that kind of being able to hear with my ears what was happening there and live that experience in a very personal way was very different from what you could see on television. And I still think that it's almost a precursor of what we're now very used to in social media, where everyone with Instagram and Facebook and Twitter can immediately share where they are, what they see. At the time, you know, this was way before Facebook, way before Twitter. There was no iPhone. this was one of the first media that enabled individuals to share a very personal experience in a way that was superior to anything else that was out there. Even a blog, you know, couldn't come close to this kind of real life feeling of those podcasts.
I still say that this format and what you're doing with that sound seeing is even better than if I were watching the video of it, because I'm building the scene in my head, just like reading a book. You know how sometimes you read a book and then you see the movie and you go, you know, that's not exactly the way that I made it in my head. And yes. I think that's what you're doing with the audio in this series. And And as you mentioned, and my wife, Linda, says so often, she says, everything happens for a reason. And I believe that you were there for that Catholic media conference at that time, starting your first podcast for a reason. I think that, you know, God made it happen so that you were there when John Paul II was on his last legs, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, if you look at what happened afterwards and how this very simple, almost an experiment, grew out into what is now my job, my work, my mission, and you know, what followed with all the other podcasters and SQPN, and just even beyond that, just the explosion of the Catholic blogosphere. And it's funny to listen to that first introduction where I say there are a couple of thousand podcasts. Now you probably have a couple of thousands of podcast episodes that are just Catholic, and then you have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Catholic blogs, and the Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts are, you know, you can't count them anymore.
Well, it's hard to believe too that all this really developed only in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
you know, if
yeah.
you think about it, I mean, the last 10 years, of course, I'm sitting here thinking it was just 10 years ago that John Paul II died. This is his 10th anniversary year. It's hard to believe that, first of all, but that all this developed, you know, how fast technology has developed, everything we take for granted now, Facebook and blogging and Google Hangouts like we use for this and podcasting and all these things that we don't think about anymore. They're just a part of our background, part of the background noise, if you will. That's only in the last 10 years. That's, you know, that's a blink of the eye, really, when you think of all human history and even the development of technology. That's a relatively short period of time.
Mm-hmm. And you wonder where we will be 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. Flying cars?
No.
They were supposed to be this year. I want my flying car.
Sorry. There are not going to be any flying cars. So you can just go ahead and scratch that one off your list.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm up for that either. I see how the way people drive on the ground.
Exactly. No. In two dimensions. Now we work with another one.
Can't Apple just develop a good autopilot?
No.
Yeah, but it won't let you do anything in the car. I'm sorry, you can't work on the engine.
It's a closed environment.
Yeah.
Well, you can't these days with our modern cars anyway. They're all computerized and you can't really work on them like you used to, you know.
No.
I think the biggest fruit of this entire revolution, though, is how much it brought the world together. And of course, there are two sides to this, because there is no other place where people go at war as in, you know, on social media. So there's also a lot of fighting and flame wars. But, I mean, it's just a medium, but the fact that I now am talking to you guys, and in a way, through some kind of time travel thing, we're even talking with a community that will listen to this sometimes weeks later. But there is a real community. There's a real friendship that has developed. And all of this was completely impossible 10 years ago. And look where we are now. To me, that is the biggest reason to say thanks for this great gift, because it literally brought the world together.
Well, just recently, I don't know if you've caught Cliff Ravenscraft's latest episode, but he was talking about the podcasts that he listens to. Have you listened to it yet, Father?
Perhaps not.
Yeah, he mentioned in the previous one that he was going to talk about the podcasts that he subscribes to and listens to, and why. And yeah. Of course, the top two, and many of us here on the panel listen to these as well. Leo Laporte, you know, sure. This Week in Technology, and MacBreak Weekly. Mm-hmm. And then he lists three of yours, by the way, The Break, The Walk, and Geek Week, and explains why and the fact that you two had done a joint venture at some point. Yeah. But what was the point of that? Oh, he was talking about how it was that he became aware of you, Father Roderick, and he said he was listening to the show by Adam Curry Daily Source Code, as I was. Many of us here did as well in the early days. And he said that both Adam Curry and Leo Laporte occasionally would mention this priest in the Netherlands doing a podcast. And his name is Father Roderick. And so that's how a lot of people found out about you. And that's the way Cliff found out about you. And now Cliff is such a great friend of our network. So I just thought that was kind of, wow, that's perfect. The timing of all this, you know, coming up on the 10th anniversary of this, the 10th anniversary of our Catholic New Media involvement with SQPN, and then the fact that Cliff just happens to spend quite a bit of time on his latest show talking about your shows and you and how this whole thing came together.
I think a lot of podcasters are approaching their 10th anniversary because we all kind of started in those early days, and it's a great moment to look back and also to kind of look ahead. I remember that the first time that somebody sent me a link to, I think it was This Week in Tech, one of the first video shows that Leo Laporte did, and they were sitting in a black room. I think they had curtains, and it was very awful video. It just looked horrible compared with where they are now. Mm-hmm. And it was just basically a bunch of old guys talking about technology. And I had never heard of Leo Laporte. I had no idea who that was. I see this kind of big guy with the white hair, and he was talking about me on the video. And he was imitating what he thought was a Dutch accent.
Hi, I'm Father Roderick. And I'm
like, that doesn't sound anything like
that. That sounds exactly like
him. It was so crazy to watch this video of people that I had no idea who they were. And they were talking about the Catholic Insider. It was just crazy. And of course, afterwards, you see how all that, I mean, if you see how far Leo Laporte has come in those 10 years, the progress and also the professional level on which we're now communicating, it's super exciting. And I think it's awesome. It's just like, you know, being one of those early Star Wars fans and having seen the first movie in theaters. With this, it feels the same. You've been at the birth, at the cradle of something that has revolutionized the world, and you've been a part of it.
Remember very vividly the first New Media Expo that we attended, the podcast and portable New Media. They changed the name of it every year, it seems. Whatever it was called back then, 2006, and we were at the convention center there in Ontario, and Leo Laporte was there. I think he was giving one of the keynotes, and you got a chance to meet him, and I was just kind of standing there with my, you know, backup bags and stuff like that. But I thought that was so cool, you know, two of my you know, favorite celebrity podcasters right there in front of me, you know, talking to each other, shaking hands. That was kind of cool. Do you remember that meeting of Leo Laporte?
I remember bumping into him, and actually someone even filmed it, I think. I've seen a video of that.
Oh, really?
We are talking, and you are also there in the picture. And it's so funny because we were all kind of new to each other. And, and I remember we were late that day, that morning. And the keynote speaker was a guy, and I remember seeing it on a program of, who wants to listen to that? You know, let's just take our time in the morning because we'll just skip that. It was a certain Ronald D. Moore, and he would have the keynote. It was like, whatever. Boy. And I remember seeing him exiting before I met Leo Laporte. He walks by, and it's this bearded guy. He's like, what a hippie. Like, what? Who invited him to this podcast convention? So afterwards, I'm like, Battlestar. Oh, no. If only I had stopped and shook his hand, you know. One of the biggest, most for me, it's one of my science fiction heroes, and I did not shake his hand.
Oh well,
can't have it all.
Yeah. So, speaking of going back, Steve, you started a podcast on the U. When did you start that?
August 2006.
Okay, so that was pretty early on.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was such an early adopter just a year after Father Roderick.
Now, let's see the timeline. Greg and Jennifer, Greg actually, not Jennifer, Jennifer joined later, also started a podcast, but it was a couple weeks after yours. Is that right, Father?
Yes.
Yeah. It was Greg started, I think, in his car, recording it on one of those tiny
little handheld recorders.
Player with a recorder or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just him talking in the car. And then I think Jennifer joined a couple of episodes later.
Mm-hmm.
And I first got into contact with him because he was singing a song, like we had those Frapper maps mm-hmm. on which you could put pins, or I think the listeners could pins, and you could see where they live.
Yep.
And he created like a Frapper map song with his guitar, putting all those names on rhyme, and I thought it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I contacted him about it or something. That's how I got to know Greg. And not much later, I remember, when did we meet, Steve? I think it was, wasn't it in during a convention or?
You came to Dallas for a Theology on Tap thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I drove down from Oklahoma to meet you at that. But we had communicated a little bit before that, but we hadn't met.
Yes. I remember being amazed how tall you were. I felt like a hobbit. And I had no idea because you're listening to a voice and you see, well, a picture, but it's just a headshot. It's like, oh, Steve, that's a big guy.
Yeah,
very tall.
That was very important for me. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Didn't we go for ice cream afterwards to one of those Bluebell ice cream?
We did, farm? Yeah.
I think I got that's like good. Smurf ice cream.
Stephanie in the chat room was saying meeting podcasters in person for the first time as a listener is a trip. And it really is. And I think Stephanie, I think I was there when you first met some of the celebrities at SQPN, like Father Roderick, in the lobby of the Drury Inn or whatever the hotel name was in San Antonio. I think that was the first time. At least that was the first time that I met Stephanie, and that was kind of cool.
See, that's I'm a newcomer to all this. The first time I met all these clowns was Boston, the last CNMC in Boston.
Yeah.
I come over to I was at the other hotel. I was at the Holiday Inn Express. I come over to, was it the Hilton or I think it was the Hilton there.
Hyatt Place, I think.
I couldn't remember which one. Mm-hmm. And they're all down in the lobby area having a drink. And I come over and that's the first time I meet Steve and Jeff and Sarah and Maria. And
Father Daryl was there.
Father Daryl was there.
Yeah, Father Daryl's in the chat room right now.
Hey, yes, Darryl. He is. That's the first time I met all this group, so I'm a newcomer to all this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the cool thing about the CNMC. When we do that, that's an opportunity for people to get together and actually meet face-to-face and form and forge new friendships and new projects and that kind of thing. I think that's probably the most the best thing about the mm-hmm. conferences, you know, being there in person. And, wouldn't you agree, Father?
And enduring friendships. A lot of these people, but also listeners, I've known them for years and years. And occasionally, every once in a while, I get an email from someone who has kind of dropped off the radar and they've not been listening for a couple of years, and they're stunned to find that we're still podcasting. And it's so much fun. And they're like hundreds of people that I know by name and I know what they look like and I've met them and they feel so close, even though they're on the other side of the ocean for me. It's amazing. And it's something that I hope that we can continue to celebrate for the rest of our lives. Cause to me, it's also what heaven is going to be. It's going to be this ongoing, reunion. Remember that time where you said this and that, and then I thought this and that.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. You need an eternity, I think, to catch up on everything that happened, let alone what will follow. It's going to be actually a big CNMC, I think.
So, I guess you'll talk more about that at CNMC, but if you give any thought of where you think the future is going to go? It kind of as a teaser for CNMC?
Yeah, well, I think that the landscape, the media landscape, has changed a lot, especially, of course, the dominance of mobile devices now, the fact that you can get internet almost everywhere, so it's a pure commodity. the whole technology of podcasting had been designed so that you could download and listen offline. Well, who needs that anymore? And with the advent of very cheap video devices and cameras, the whole experience and the way in which we communicate has become much more multimedia. Mm. I do believe that just as radio has maintained its strength and its relevance, even with the advent of television and the internet, the same thing will be true, I think, for podcasting. There's always an audience that will continue to listen to podcasts. One of the big advantages, of course, is that you can listen to podcasts if you're doing something else, when you're in the car or you're cleaning the house or whatever. That's how I listen to a lot of podcasts. But in addition to that, there is also a huge new interest for other forms of communication. Of course, the social network communication that we all participate in is part of that, ongoing conversation. And I think the future, for me personally, I think is very much going to be also in video, online video. Because mm-hmm. there's the same problem that we had with podcasting and radio. There's a lot of video out there. There's not much good Catholic stuff out there that is relevant to not just Catholics. And I think that our mission that we had in audio is probably something that we should also develop in the realm of video.
Yeah, excellent. That's a great teaser. And music is coming up in the background. Time for a quick break before we move to our picks of the week. So we're talking about the CNMC. So we hope to have something very, very soon. I mean, within a couple of days, registration open for the CNMC. Maria and I have been doing a lot of the groundwork for arranging for all these things. And now we just got to get it all set up on the website. And you'll be able to start clicking away and registering for the conference and booking your hotel room. And we were able to secure a conference rate, which is pretty nice. For the rooms at the Marriott Gateway Hotel, right next to the Convention Center in Atlanta. So look forward to that literally within a few days. And if you'd like to support SQPN monetarily, you can, if you're watching on the live page over here, you can see I just bumped my microphone. There's a thing over there you can click on. It says Friends of SQPN. If you want to become a friend of SQPN monetarily, you can do so by the convenient method of signing up for donations. Friends of SQPN right there at sqpn.com/donate, our dedicated page for that. And if you do online shopping, and who doesn't? Amazon.com is my favorite, and I believe a lot of people's favorites. And if you do that, before you shop, make sure you use one of our SQPN links to Amazon first. And that way we get some credit, some money from your purchase, and really does help to support. And all adds up, really does. And finally, web hosting. If you're itching to put out your own blog or your own podcast, you need to have a web hosting solution. And Bluehost is our partner, and they do a fantastic job and provide a great service, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage for a very low monthly fee. So check out Bluehost by heading over to sqpn.com/Bluehost. There we go. And that is our break. So anything you want to talk about before we start talking about our picks of the week? No. Here we go. Forever hold your peace. Thank you, Pat Gone, for that. And we are at that point where we talk about stuff that we recommend or think that people should be made aware. And who would like to go first? I will.
Well, I'll go first.
Okay, Steve.
My pick of the week is a shout out to the parish of St. Joseph in downtown San Antonio. It's located near the Riverwalk. It's actually a German parish from the 1880s, I think. Mm-hmm. So you walk inside and all of the Stations of the Cross are written in German and English. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous church. But as things have developed down there, it is now located right in the heart of all the major hotels and the conference center and everything. Mm-hmm. And they are very welcoming to people, to visitors that come to San Antonio for the various conferences and things. And, you know, they have adoration every day. They have mass every day. And I was there on Sunday for mass, and it was just a very welcoming place and perfectly located for visitors to San Antonio. So if you happen to be there, check out the parish of St. Joseph. And you can actually get to it from the Riverwalk. If you go to the right place, there are steps that lead right up to the church.
It is right around the corner from the layover hotel that we have in San Antonio, right next to the, just right around the corner, literally from the,
the Alamo. The Marriott, one of the Marriotts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful church. What is it? You said, is it old German or Czechoslovakian? Or
it's German.
German, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. All right. Thank you, Steve. And I've been to it several times, and I have to give my thumbs up to that parish. Can we do that to parishes? Two thumbs up.
There we go. That's the next website we need. It's, you know, like TripAdvisor or something like that for parishes, you know. Two thumbs up on this parish.
You know, they do.
Surprised somebody hasn't done that yet.
They do have a Catholic. I use have an app called like Mass Times, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And you can find, you know, local parishes and their times and all that kind of stuff. But they should have a function like Yelp, you know, reviews. Maybe not. Maybe not a good idea.
Yeah. Do you really want to get in that business?
No.
Now, the wine they used for the consecration was a little sour, but
the homily was excellent. But make sure that you get out of there before the choir starts singing Ave Maria, because it's grating on the ears.
All right, I'm going to go next. I found an application, an iOS application. I'm not sure if there's a Android version of it or not. I didn't look that up. I should have. But it's called Lent Catholic Meditations and and readings by St. Thomas Aquinas. You may have heard of him. And it's a way to meditate and kind of keep in the you probably can't see it right here, but it's on my phone, and it's called Lent Catholic Medication. Catholic Medications. That's an entirely different one. Anyway, Catholic Meditations by St. Thomas Aquinas. And so if you're looking for something to enhance your spirituality and your education during Lent, check that out. I'll have a link in the show notes if you're interested in putting that on your phone. It's not free. They have a light version that I think it's like every other day you have access to the just to check it out. You know, it's free. But the actual real full version of every day of Lent is $2.99, I think. So not bad.
But for someone who's not that pious, you can just go for the free version.
Exactly. And you're thinking, well, why didn't you go for that one, Jeff?
There's always aspiration, you know?
Yes.
You always got to aim for something.
All right.
I've got an app as well as a pick. This is actually, it's been around for a while. It's available on iOS. It's not available on Android yet, but they seem to be working on it. It's called Paper, and it's a really great tool to draw. To paint, to watercolor, whatever you want. And it used to be a free app already, but then for every new tool, let's say a brush or a pencil, you had to pay an in-app purchase. Well, apparently the company who made this app has shifted to more of a hardware approach, where they are trying to sell touch-sensitive styluses. For iOS, but the advantage is they give away the app for free now with all the tools, and you don't necessarily need one of those styli or whatever the plural is of styluses, metro. it works perfectly fine just with your fingers or, you know, one of those very cheap pens that you can buy almost everywhere. And it's very powerful. I've seen it being used by people for their keynotes, you know, to create like do mind mapping. And so it's not just for if you like drawing, but you can also use it for taking notes. And it's very powerful. And again, it's free. It's amazing. A really, really polished program. Definitely the best drawing program that I know on iOS. So that's my freeloader tip of the week.
I love it. Now, do they still have that Facebook app that I thought they called that Paper too? Is that something?
That was actually that's Facebook. It was kind of a portal to Facebook pages, yeah. And you could use it as an alternate way to browse your profile.
Okay.
But it's just one of those projects that is still around, but they kind of abandoned development of it. So
yeah, you don't hear anybody talking about that anymore.
Yeah.
So if we do a search on the App Store, good luck. because it's a terrible mechanism for searching. But so what would we put in? Paper and then drawing?
Paper and, the company, what was it again? I can Google that.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, Father Corey.
Yep. Yeah, unfortunately, Maria dropped off, so I'm the last one. And my pick is an article by Monsignor Charles Pope. Now, if you've read his blog, you know he's an excellent, excellent writer. And, you know, very deeply spiritual, deeply theological in his writing. And the article is called The Gift of Sorrow for Sin, a Meditation on the Mass for the Gift of Tears in the Missal. There is actually a Mass, a setting of prayers in the Missal called the Mass for the Forgiveness of Sins, or the Mass, or as it says in the old Missal, 1962 Missal, Mass requesting compunction of heart. Compunction meaning sorrow. You might have heard that at Ash Wednesday, that word compunction. It's a beautiful reflection on the fact that one thing we need to ask from God is this gift for having sorrow for our sins. I think we commit our sins sometimes and we say we're sorry for them, but we don't really have true sorrow where we realize, and it's not sorrow as in I'm a horrible person, you know, this sadness. It's almost a sorrow of the joy that God, that our Lord came and gave his life for us. It's kind of one of those paradoxes in the Christian faith that we're sorrow because we got so much joy that our Lord had given his life for us. So it's a wonderful article. It's very much worth reading and spending some time meditating on and possibly asking for this true sorrow for our sins, these tears, this gift of tears for our sins. So check that out.
Excellent.
You mentioned that. It's also a theme that Pope Francis has mentioned several times in the past few days. Ask for the gift of tears. Mm. I thought that was very profound.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, Monsignor Pope's blog is awesome. Okay, go ahead, Father.
Paper app is made by the company 53, and there are in-app purchases, but they are now all free, so you can just download them and start creating your masterpieces.
And our master note taker has already got it in the show notes, so Sweet. We will have it available.
Maria, are you there?
Do I dare jump in at this point?
Yes. Do you have a pick of the week?
I do, in fact, have one.
Well, hurry, because we're almost at the end of the show.
CatholicSistas.com, SISTAS, CatholicSistas.com is running an interesting little hashtag for a Lenten Instagram photo journal. And they've posted on their website a word to reflect upon for every day of Lent. And you post a picture with the hashtag CSLENTIPJ. Stands for Catholic Sisters Lent Instagram Photo Journal.
Wow. We'll have a link to that in the show notes.
So many letters.
Okay, great. Well, we're glad that you were able to rejoin us. You were out for, seems like, the last half of the show.
Yes, so, I'm sorry about that, guys.
Hey, well, we're glad you made it back. So tell us how we can read some of your wonderful writings on your blog.
You can follow me at Bego. You can read my blog at begojohnson.com. And I'm also blogging in Spanish, Petalos de Maria. wordpress.com.
Excellent. And Father Corey?
Well, my homilies are posted at frcorey.org, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, a lot of those other things at frcoreystica, last name spelled STICHA.
Wonderful. And Steve Nelson?
Everything is Esteban.com.
All right. Anything new and fresh over there lately, or are you still working on that?
Yeah. Nothing lately.
Little busy, right?
but you know, I see Maria's tweets and all of her little challenges and things that she's done, and I'm going to jump in on one of these soon.
Okay, great.
She has like little writing prompts that she gives her classes. Isn't that right, Maria?
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Write with us on Mondays.
I will try.
Father Roderick Von Hogen.
I got my shows on sqpn.com and my videos on tridio.com. Tridio like in video, but then with TRI. And that website now also has an English homepage. So it's also cool. Multilingual.
Excellent.
And I've just created a Patreon page also to follow the footsteps of certain airline pilot guys. that's it. patreon.com/FatherRoderick.
Excellent. And finally, speaking of airline pilot guys, that's me. A show about aviation, specifically airline aviation. Check it out, airlinepilotguy.com. And let's see, don't forget to head over to sqpn.com to check out all the wonderful shows in our lineup, as well as information about the CNMC. And until next time, wishing you a fantastic Catholic weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.